Grab your Bibles this morning and turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, as we continue looking at the topic, Nuggets of Wisdom. When I was about to get married, I had a good friend give me some advice. He shared, "There are a few things that you don't say to your wife or that you don't do." Had I only listened to his advice, I would have been much better off. You see, my wife has a handmade bow and arrow and knows how to use it. Before I got married or had kids, I was an expert on marriage and raising kids. So when those times came and people gave me advice, it's like, I don't need your advice, I know what I'm doing. And then I got married and then later had kids and realized I had no clue what I was doing in either case. And things would have been different if I would have listened to the advice of those who went before me. Had I listened to sound advice, I would not have had to learn those lessons the hard way through my mistakes. You know, the same is true in our Christian walk. We have such a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, that can help us in our walk with Christ if we will listen. As we continue our series, Nuggets of Wisdom, today we will see a few steps to wisdom. We're going to look at three steps to wisdom. The first thing is a wise person knows to listen to the counsel of those around him. In Proverbs chapter 12, starting in verse 15, the Word of God reads, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage that you've given to us in your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can. Lord, I pray now that I would sit down and that you would stand up. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would take over completely and totally. And I pray that everything said would come from you. Lord, move today as only you can. We thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. So the first step to wisdom is the wise listen. The wise listen. Verse 15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Sometimes we need to be reminded that our way is not always the right way. It's easy for us to think that my way is the right way. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that have a my way or the highway mentality. You either do it my way or you hit the highway. You're either going to do it the way I want, the way I think, or you can go somewhere else. Well, the Bible has a definition for that type of person, a fool. The Bible says that type of person is a fool. It says clearly right here in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." Now, it's easy for us to think that we are always right, that our ways are always right. Scripture gives us great examples of how this is far from true. One of the greatest examples in Scripture of this truth is the book of Judges. The book of Judges is one of the saddest books in all of the Bible. As you read through Judges, you will hear this phrase, "There was no king in Israel, so the people did what was right in their own eyes." Well, that's dangerous. People did what they thought was right, and when you read through the book of Judges, it was awful. I mean, by the end of Judges, one person is getting cut up into 12 pieces and sent to all the 12 tribes. That's how bad Judges gets. You know it's bad when Samson is portrayed as a hero. Samson was a scoundrel if you read through Judges. And it's interesting, as we think about this, they did what they thought was right in their eyes, and it turned out bad. Well, Moses, he sent out 12 spies. 10 decided that it was right to not take the promised land. And that led to the people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Paul thought he was right to arrest and destroy all Christians that he found. He had a note from the priest to arrest and bring back to Jerusalem any Christians that he found. He thought that his way was right. And as we look at these examples, we can see that just because we think it's right doesn't necessarily mean that it is right. And that's why there are reasons that we have rules and laws in place. You know, some people get frustrated when we say we have to follow certain rules and procedures in the church. Well, why do we have to do that? Because if everybody did what was right in their own eyes, there would be total chaos. We have rules and procedures in place for a reason, so that there is a standard. If there is absolutely no standard, then people do whatever they want. And that is not good. There are rules in place for that reason. What would happen if our country were to get rid of all the laws of the land and people just did what they wanted? There would be utter chaos. Same thing applies in our church. The guidelines and policies that are put in place are time tested. There's a reason churches have constitution and bylaws. There's a reason churches follow certain procedures. Because if we didn't, we'd have to do what was right in our own eyes. The procedures that we have in place have been given to us as counsel from those who went before us. Those who went before us sat down and put these rules and procedures in place, what we have as known as our constitution and bylaws, in order to give us wise advice and wise counsel as we move forward. The wise listen to those around them. Each of us have wisdom to offer. It doesn't matter how old you are this morning or how young you are. Every single one of us has wisdom to offer each other. We must listen to each other, hear what each other has to say, and move forward based on what the word of God says and what's best for the kingdom. Where we get into so many problems in our churches and even in our world today is we don't listen. If somebody thinks differently than us, we instantly shun them. If somebody thinks differently or believes differently or acts differently, we're like, we don't want to hear them. Now, if someone says, well, I think we should have purple carpet, and then someone else says, don't you dare put purple carpet down, it should be orange. Then somebody else has said, no, we should have chrysanthemum colored carpet. What does that even look like? But, you know, is this not the silly fights that we get into over church? As soon as someone disagrees with our opinion or what we think, we instantly leave and we don't even listen to reason. Well, I don't care what you say. And I've actually had somebody tell me this before. Praise the Lord, it was not here. But at another church that I was at, I actually had somebody tell me, I don't care what the Bible says, this is what I believe. It's like, I can't even deal with that. There's no arguing there. But we need to learn to listen to each other. You know, that's one of the things that myself and the deacons have been trying to do a lot better of lately is listen to what the people say. Listening to what the people have to say. All right, what do you guys think? What do you want to do? How do we move forward as a church? How do we work together to accomplish what God would have us to do? People who have gone before us have a great deal of advice to give us if we will listen. Young people, hear this. Children, kids, your parents have a lot of wisdom even though you think they don't. Listen. The older people in the church have a lot of wisdom and counsel and advice listen. We would be unwise, we would be a fool, as the Bible says, if we did not listen to those who have gone before us. Now, the older people's like, yeah, this goes the other way too. Some of us may not like to hear this, but the younger generation has a lot of great ideas and things to teach us if we would listen to them as well. And you know what? That's biblical. Job chapter 32, verse 6 through 9. So Elihu, son of Barachel the Buzite, said, I am young in years and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know. I thought age should speak. Advanced years should teach wisdom. But it's the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. It is not only the old who are wise, not only the aged who understand what is right. Elihu was young, but wise. When God showed up at the end of Job, God had nothing negative or bad to say to Elihu. Now, the other three friends who were older, God gave it to them, and to the point that Job had to make a sacrifice to bring them back into a right relationship with God. But here we have Elihu, who was younger, but he was wise. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and purity. These verses help us to see that wisdom does not just come from age. Wisdom also comes from knowing Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living in us. Often we say they're young, they just don't understand. Don't do that. We need to listen to one another. We need to hear one another. And the 15-year-old should be able to speak just as much as the 70-year-old that's been here their entire life. Because just because someone is older doesn't mean they have a better understanding of the Bible. Doesn't mean that the Spirit of God cannot work in them. And so we need to learn to listen to one another. We need to learn to come together and hear what each other has to say. And what's interesting is when we start to have those conversations, when we start to listen and hear, a lot of times we find out that we're actually on the same page. Now, some people might be like, well, I wish we did more praise and worship songs. I wish we did more modern songs. Other people might say, well, I wish all we ever did was hymns. Someone else might say, I wish we didn't have any music at all. And so we meet together to figure out what we can do to move forward together. We listen to wise counsel. We listen to the advice of each other. You can be old and wise, and you can be young and wise. This passage tells us when we fail to listen or just do what is right in our own eyes, we're a fool. The best way to learn is to listen. We can learn so much when we take the time to listen to those around us. I have learned a lot of great and valuable lessons when I have taken the time to listen to those around me. And I think the same could be said for all of us. A wise person learns from those around him. When others have experienced what we are going through, it would be wise to hear what they have to say. Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you this warning now. Of the three steps to wisdom that we're going to look at today, this one's the easiest. So, how hard is it to listen to other people? That's the easiest of the three that we're going to look at today. The second thing that we're going to... So, our application, we need to listen. It's easy to believe that we have everything figured out and that our way is right. We need to take the time to hear what others think. We never know the blessings that we might be missing out because we're not listening. You ever think about that? Imagine the blessings we might be missing out on because we just don't listen. What could you learn if you were to take the time to listen to the advice of others? How many problems in our lives could have been avoided had we only listened? How many of us heard our parents say that one day you'll understand, and we thought they were crazy, but now we know they're not? Sometimes we need to learn to close our mouths and to open our ears and hear what others are saying. We need to be careful and make sure that what they are saying lines up with the Word of God, because not all advice and counsel is good. Just look at Solomon's son Rehoboam. One group gave him good advice. One group gave him bad advice. He took the bad advice and it turned out bad. A wise person will take the time to hear the advice of others, see how it lines up with the Word of God, and act based on the best decision. So the wise listens. The second thing that we see in our text is the wise show self-control. Verse 16 says, "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." In other words, what this verse is saying is don't be quick to attack back. The next thing we see is we need to be wise in how we deal with negative criticism. It pains me to say this, but there are some people out there, even church people, who are just plain mean. I hate to have to say that, but that's the truth. There are some people that are just mean. They live for confrontation. They are not happy if they're not criticizing. They're not happy if they're not insulting. They're not happy if they're not putting you down. And no matter what you do, they will find something wrong with you. I have heard the same person, the exact same person, tell me, "Your car's never in the driveway. Your car's always in the driveway." Okay. Same person. You're always in the yard. You're never in the yard. It's just no matter what you do, they're not happy. And I don't know. Some people are just miserable, and so they want to make everybody else around them miserable. Well, what this verse teaches us is that when those people insult us, when those people attack us, we learn to be quiet. That's hard. Because here's the powerful truth, guys. We are not responsible for what people say to us. We are responsible for how we act. I cannot control what anybody says about me or anybody says to me. But I can control how I respond and how I act. And what this verse is teaching is that the wise person overlooks what they say. How hard is that? You know, if someone criticizes you or someone attacks you or someone says something about you, whoo, and you know a fool, because if you say something, they respond right away with anger. That is a fool. And how often has that been you and I? How often has somebody said something that we didn't like and we should respond right away and say something we should have never said? The wise person is able to stay calm under insult. This can be very hard at times. The word that says here, cover, where it says, but a prudent man covers shame, that word cover, it means to overlook. The wise overlook the mean words of the fool. One commentary says, overlooks means not that he ignores the insult, but that he controls his response to it and forgives it. Do we act by firing back and working to get the last word? When someone attacks us or insults us, do we instantly fire back, trying to get the last word? Or do we consider the source and let the insults roll off of us, knowing how our master feels about us? Because I'm here to tell you today, no matter what somebody says about you, God feels a completely different way. There are some people that think I'm incompetent as a pastor. Well, God must think I'm competent because He called me. There are some people who don't like the way we do certain things. That's okay. You know what? Those people that don't like the way we do certain things, in the 5 years I've been here, I haven't seen them in a business meeting to do something about it.
Almost 6 years. People complain about the way we do things, but they never come to a business meeting and say anything. Do we consider the source? Do we consider the one who's saying it? And do we learn just to let those insults roll off? We have been promised that people will look down upon us for our walk with Jesus Christ. Often people say mean things to us and about us. We can't control that, but we can control our response. The wise person breaks the cycle. If someone insults me and then I insult them back, what's going to happen? And then it becomes this constant barrage of insults, back and forth, back and forth. Someone's got to break the cycle, so it might as well be us. Someone's got to stop the insults. The wise will break the cycle, take the insult with a grain of salt, and walk away. I wish I could stand up here this morning and say that I've mastered this truth. But that's far from the truth. When someone insults me, I want to defend my honor. But I need to let God do that. You know, part of my anxiety is when somebody says something to me, I got to try to defend myself and make people understand the truth of what's going on. That's not my job. I need to let God do that. Because I just make things worse. When someone insults me, I want to show them who they are. I want to let them know the type of person they really are. I need to let God do that. That's not my place. We see Jesus do this when he's put on trial. When all the insults are coming at him, he just keeps quiet. And that's not easy, is it, guys? As followers of Jesus, we can work to become peacemakers instead of adding fuel to the fire. Often we add fuel to the fire to the point that there's an explosion. We are to be peacemakers. If we hear someone insulting a brother or sister in Christ, we should say, "Hey, you shouldn't do that." If we hear someone insult us, we should just walk away. If we insult someone, we need to seek forgiveness. I'll never forget what my dad always said. As long as somebody's picking on me, they're leaving somebody else alone. So if someone's insulting me, they're leaving somebody else alone. What we see here in this verse is a person who is self-controlled. It takes self-control to not fire back when we are insulted. Again, we cannot control what is said by other people, but we can control how we act and how we respond. And so what is our application? Keep your cool. It's easy to respond to someone in the way they react to us. We like to respond the way they respond. Somebody calls us an idiot, we're going to call him a knucklehead. Or we like to go back and forth. But instead, we need to keep our cool. We need to let the insults roll off of us so that the devil does not get a foothold among the people of God. When we start letting these insults take control, when we start firing back, when we start listening to what people say, we give the devil a foothold into his church. We are to have self-control when we come under verbal attack from those who do not like us or just want to ruffle our feathers. How we speak to each other and talk back to each other matters. And that leads us to our third step to wisdom. The wise speak rightly. Verse 17 and 18. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. As the people of God, we are to speak well. Again, what we say as the people of God matters. A wise person thinks before he speaks. When it comes to this area of my life, I'm not very wise. A wise person does not just say the first thing that pops into his head. A wise person does not have foot and mouth syndrome. What's interesting, as we look at verse 17 and verse 18, the word speaks is used twice. Verse 17, he who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. What's interesting is you and I may not see this in our English translation, but there's two different Hebrew words that are used for speak in these two verses. The Hebrew word that's used in verse 7 means to declare or testify. I'm going to declare or testify the truth. The word for speak in verse 18 means to speak rashly or gossip. Two very different types of speaking. One that is right and good and builds up. One that is wrong and negative and tears down. Speak in verse 17 means to declare or testify. It's dealing with court. For example, a witness in the court system needs to speak the truth or justice is perverted. If someone gets on the stand and lies, if a witness testifies falsely, innocent people could go to jail or guilty people could get off. And so this verse is saying that when it comes to speaking, we need to speak the truth. We need to speak what is good and right. The person is reliable. As the people of God, we should be seen as reliable. We should be people who speak the truth in the right way. And then verse 18 helps us to see the impact of speaking in the wrong way. How many people's lives have been destroyed or damaged because of gossip? How many people have been destroyed or hurt because of hearsay? What somebody else says. How often do good Christians gossip? It breaks my heart to know how much Christians gossip. How often has speaking rashly led to problems and hurt feelings? How many times has what we said hurt someone else? Because once the words are out, they can't go back in. Once it's been said, it can't be put back. We are to tell the truth lovingly. It's important to speak what is true and what builds up. Our words do matter. We are to talk about the truth in love. How many of you have been hurt by what someone has said? Think about that this morning. Who in here has been hurt by what someone said to them or about them? Now let me ask you this. How many of you have been healed because of what somebody said to you? It goes both ways. And that's what this verse is helping us to see. Verse 18, the one who speaks rashly or gossip, it's like a piercing of a sword. But the tongue of the wise promotes health, promotes healing. Amen. When we speak in the right way, when we speak in the positive way, we're able to build up, we're able to bring healing. But when we speak rashly or gossip, we have the ability to tear down. Reckless words hurt, but words used in the right way heal. So what is our challenge? Speak the truth in love. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth and love. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. When the people of God learn to speak the truth in love, they become mature. We need to understand, when we speak the truth without love, that's called legalism. When we speak love without the truth, that's liberalism. We don't need either of that. We are to speak the truth in love. It is easy to speak words that hurt when we have been hurt. Instead, we need to speak words of healing. We are to build up, not tear down. Listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Romans 15:2. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Romans 14:13, therefore let us stop passing judgment on one another. Ouch. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. And then James chapter 3, verse 9. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. In other words, one minute we're praising God, and the next minute we're talking bad about someone. How many times have we come to church and sang songs of praise and praised the Lord, and then left and on our way to lunch talk bad about someone? Do the words we say build up the people around us? Do they bring healing or hurt? What we see in these verses are some practical steps to being wise. Now notice I said practical steps, not easy steps. Something can be practical and still be hard. And so here we see three practical steps to wisdom. Number one, we listen to advice. Number two, we overlook insults. And number three, we speak truth and healing. A wise person can do these things well. Today, I want to be a wise person and give us some great advice. And the advice that I'm about to give, the wise will heed and the fools will leave unchanged. First, I want to give some advice to anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Give your life to Him. The greatest decision that you will ever make is to surrender your heart and your life to Jesus Christ. The Bible is very clear that the only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus shed on the cross for our sins. We cannot be made right with holy God apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the best advice, the best counsel that I can give you, just give your life to Christ. Amen. The second advice I want to give is I want to give some advice to those of us who are saved, who have given our lives to Jesus Christ. Live your life for Jesus. Don't worry about what other people think. Don't worry about what other people say. Live your life for Jesus. Be the man or the woman that God has called you to be, and live for Him to the best of your abilities. Awesome Father, Lord, I thank You for this beautiful passage that You give to us in Proverbs about steps to wisdom. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to be wise. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that does not know You, that they would come to know You as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray that You would help those of us who do know You to be wise in what we say and what we speak, seeking to live for You. I pray that You would help us to learn to be wise in our words, that we would be wise in our ability to overlook insult, that we would be wise in our ability to listen to godly counsel. And Lord, I pray that You would just grow Your church as only You can. Lord, move in our hearts and in our lives. Change us and transform us into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to be wise in our understanding of the Holy Spirit. Living our lives for Jesus the best that we can. Lord, we thank you. We love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.